John B. Oh, bring it on now. Let them feel what you're doing. Oh, 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 oh. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with me, Sherwood Hughes, talking about these, I guess, discipline issues and the disparities that exist between black students and white students, where the disparity is the most pronounced. Why can't the kids behave? It's always poverty's problem, right? Are y'all honestly going to tell me that having more money makes you behave better? Having more money makes your behavior in some cases worse because you can get away with it. Stop blaming poverty. Like, the standard of living in a poorest state in America, which I think it teeters back and forth, and they're always red states. I think it's Mississippi. Between Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas, those are per capita income are the poorest. Still better than like the country of England. Our poorest states have a higher per capita income than most of Western Europe. So poverty is relative. Problem is there's so much consumerism that whatever money people have as far as income goes, they spend it. And they're also much more sensitive to just like price fluctuations. But poverty is not an excuse. So you mean to tell me that we have to get rid of poverty? We got to extinguish poverty in order for children to be able to behave? Come on now. You know that's ridiculous. There are some people, no matter how much money they make, they're going to be poor. Financially, they're going to be poor. But also, morally, they're going to be bankrupt as well. So it's not poverty. I think people overestimate what money can do. You're the same person. You're just a better financed version, a more extreme version of who you were. If you were a jerk when you're poor and you get rich, now you're a rich jerk, which I would argue is a worse kind of jerk to be, because now you got money. You have like this inflated sense of self. And then here's what's crazy. You can be poor your whole life. Oh, I've seen it. People grow up dirt poor, right? Get a little bit of money, maybe a lot of money. And guess what? The first thing they do is, hey, poor people. Hate them. Hate them. Can't. Oh, look at. How dare you? Look at your poverty stricken self. I don't want your kind in here. But, sir, you were at the same soup kitchen 2 years ago. Ah, that was the old me. Now I'm rich. No, money don't do it. I think that there are some people that they can't raise kids. Why don't we ever want to admit that? If men could get pregnant, do you have any idea how many abortions we'd have? It'd be a part of our routine. Hey, dog, what you got going on this weekend? Man, I got pregnant again, dog. Yeah, I'm finna, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm gonna go get that thing taken care of, whatever, because, you know, I ain't trying to be no pappy. So y'all want to meet at the spot? I'm finna go down to the little clinic, whatever. Ain't gonna take long. They said I'm supposed to be laid up for a couple of days with bed rest, but now I'm finna be in the streets tonight. So yeah, man, my appointment is hey, you wanna take me, dog? You wanna take me to the abortion doctor? Yeah, I got you, dog. And actually, you know what? Can you take me next week? Yeah, I got you. We'd have so many abortions. And especially if, let's reverse the rules. Man sends it's always a text. Text a woman. I'm late. And then she says, yeah, it ain't mine. We text the woman. If men could get pregnant, we send a text. Get that late text saying I'm late text. The woman's like, yeah, I don't want to have nothing to do with you or that baby. We're going to have an abortion. The woman said she don't want to be a mammy to the baby. What are we going to do? We ain't raising this baby on our own. Cost too much. Life is already hard enough. Have an abortion. A man's right to choose. His body, his choice. We totally would. Now, of course, I'm not over here telling women what to do, but I'm just saying I know men, and if there is something that will be inconvenient or expensive or a burden or stifle our progress, because men get a lot of their worth. Like, who we are and how we are judged is based on what we can earn and what we can do and how far we can go when it comes to success and being a professional. That's it. So if there is something that gets in the way of that, and we can lower or mitigate or eliminate that barrier, I promise you we would do it. It would just be smart thinking. Like, oh, I'm gonna have to take maternity leave, dog. I'm trying to get this promotion, son. You know what I mean? Trying to go on vacation. I can't go on vacation with a pregnant belly. Yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead. We would just have, some people can't parent. And why is that such a tough conversation to have? Like, we feel like because somebody has children, we owe them everything, and we got to take care of their kids. The state has to take care of their kids. They have almost no skin in the game whatsoever. Their kids can grow up to be a murderer. And then I will say to you, have you ever been a victim of a violent crime and it was a child where the mama could say, yeah, he's always been a problem. I couldn't discipline him. He would never listen. He never went to school. He cut school. He was doing drugs. Why? You shouldn't have had him. You should, because now he just killed somebody. And if you're the victim of a violent crime and the mother's telling you about their child, like, oh, yeah, he's always been a problem. Your family that has suffered at the hands of that child, that even the mama and the daddy will admit, oh, yeah, we've never been able to do anything with him. Don't you wish that child was never born? Because then your child will still be alive. Now, we got to look at things in those terms, but for some reason that's, oh, we can't talk about it like that. Maybe we should. Maybe that's the part of the conversation that's missing. And women, you ain't got to explain nothing to nobody. You don't want to have that baby, don't have it. Don't. If you can't take care of it, and if that child might end up being neglected, a neglected child is a problem. 6 ways from Sunday, they're going to be a problem. They're going to seek attention in the wrong places. They're going to use drugs and alcohol more likely. They're going to have anxiety, all this stuff. And we know what's going to happen. Like, we know it. And here's what's crazy. You can even see it in your other children. Not to mention an adult that grows up that wasn't loved and wasn't cared for by their parents. We got to be realistic about this stuff now. We got to put everything out on the table because our community is exploding. Your relationships are going to fail if you did not have a solid parental, family, or community foundation and connection. You are doomed. Here's what you're not going to do. You had a messed up upbringing, and it's not your fault. It's horrible. It's a bad, bad thing. But what you ain't going to do is you can't find a partner because you're screwed up. You can't blame the opposite sex because you can't find somebody. Like, I read some of this stuff now. The people that are obviously troubled, never had a solid relationship, never even had a solid, like, family relationship, right? They weren't loved, they weren't nurtured, they weren't cared for, and they get out into the world where people care about you even less. Once you get out into the world, the love that you needed to carry you through life should have came from your family, because you can't expect it out in the world because the world is a monster. And parents got to prepare their kids for that. The world is going to eat you up. You're not prepared for it. We don't have that foundation of love and being cared for and being taken care of and building your self-esteem, and allow these damn kids to fail. These bulldozer parents don't even let their kids mess up. I messed up a lot. My parents were like, all right, that's your ass, buddy. That's it. You're going to get some discipline because you got to learn. I don't want my child to ever see any consequences. I can tell you how that story is going to end. So you got somebody who didn't have a great upbringing and get out into the world. All these men out here are terrible. It ain't them. You ever ask yourself why you attract them? Same with guys. These women out here are terrible. Why are you attracting terrible women? You got to look. I know the role I played. I won't blame a single woman that I've ever been with, dated, any of that, that was a horrible human being. That's me. I attracted that trash. She going to be who she is. You know what I mean? I can't even do nothing about her. That's who she is genetically. She screwed up. And I didn't screw her up, but she just is screwed up. How am I attracted to the screwed up? That's me. That's not her problem. She's nuts. How am I? I like a little crazy, though.
Do
you? Woo! In the right amounts. But the problem is, I like crazy that can be controlled.
Latina crazy?
No. Not that's too much.
Mm-mm. I like that kind of crazy.
I can't deal with them. Not Latinas.
Why not? Speak a little Spanish to you? I like that.
I speak Spanish, but I
can't speak Spanish.
They don't do it for me. The Latinas, though. I mean, they look good or whatever.
Muy bien.
No, not bien. No, no, no. No, no más. No. Yo quiero. Yo quisiera. La caminada pareada. No, I don't want. Can't do it.
Grande torta.
A grande torta. That's a big fat sandwich girl. A big fat girl. Torta, big fatty. No. Relax, everybody calm down. So don't blame the other people. Sometimes people had real, if you didn't have good role models and good examples that you could mimic, it's tough. I'm not saying it's impossible, but kids are growing up with really bad examples everywhere, whether it be the garbage that was left at an event at Brown Deer Park or just what they see. I've often... Not that y'all care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Sherwin, what's your type? Because, hell, I don't even know. If I line up some of the women that I've been involved with, I was going through some stuff, clearly.
Like what? Some big mamas?
Nah, that ain't for me.
You don't like the big mamas?
Not for me.
Oh.
And but, hey, big girls need love, too. So do big men. Big people need each other. They need love, but nah, that's not me.
Well, they say more cushion for the pushing or something?
I don't know who they is, but they're just all so different. And I had to figure out, okay, what is my type? Because I got to figure out why I'm attracting what I'm attracting. It also depends on where I'm at in life. If I'm in a good place in life, then the people, just the energy of the people that come around me, and this is with everybody. If you're doing good, good energy comes around you, and so will good people. If you're not doing good, the people that find their way to you will also be reflective of just where you are. So just watch your energy, you know what I mean? Get your energy up and the people will improve. But what I found that they do have in common, at least the ones that I've had good relationships with, some people you may have dated and timing is bad, but you're still cool. Like, I got some homegirls that, you know, we dated for a little bit, didn't work out. Everybody's still cool. We still can kick it. We still talk. I tell them, hey, you need something, I got you, and vice versa. I appreciate that. But you know what, for me, worked the best? And that's why you can't limit yourself to race. Women that have relationships with their fathers, there's nothing that compares. That actually had their dads in their life. The parents didn't have to be married. But she got her father's perspective on life and was raised by her father and loved by her father and disciplined by her father. And has a healthy respect for who her father was. This completely changes a woman's perspective on men. Now, you got some women that grow up in a household full of women. It's worse with men. But when a girl grows up in a household full of mamas, grandmamas, and aunties, not a man in sight, not a husband in sight, not a boyfriend in sight, and these dudes are coming and going, these little girls growing up thinking she got 75 uncles because every time her mama and her auntie bring somebody around, oh, this is just your uncle. Stop saying that to them girls. Got these girls messed up in the head. And if a girl grows up hearing the women in her life, her mama, her grandmother, they always have 35 aunties. If every one of those women is talking bad about men because they can't keep a man or these men are terrible, these men are this, how do you think that's going to impact that girl? And then when she grows up and gets out into the real world, she's going to have a healthy disrespect for men off jump because that's all she's heard. I'm talking about in her formative years, even long before puberty. You have a girl 13, 14 years old that has enough hatred in her heart for men that she's going to hate them forever. I can't compete with that. Nobody wants to compete with that. But little boys, though, there's always exceptions, and the exceptions are the ones that speak up and get mad at me. But if you're a little boy or just a son, even worse, you got all sisters. No dad, no father, no male role models. You see your mama with a different dude every 6 months. You hear your mother talk terrible about men. Your aunties, all your grandmamas all talking terrible about men. You're the only boy now, so it's all women. You're growing up around all women now. You hear nothing but terrible things about men from all of these women. While none of these women are raising you as the only boy to be a good man, a good father, and a good husband, they're not doing any of that. Of course not. It's, in fact, you're better off raising your little boy to be dependent on the mama forever because that'll be the only man that never leaves her. Think about that one for a second. raise my boy ain't gonna learn nothing. He gonna be dependent on his mama forever, because I can guarantee, and sometimes it's subconscious, he'll never leave me because every other man did. These boys can't do nothing. And then women complain, oh, these men are worthless. Of course they are. He was raised to be worthless, so he would never leave his mama. Because here's one thing that women hate. Oh, they hate a mama's boy, because sometimes they get jealous. Why you always up under your mama like that? He was raised to be that way, to never leave her, to be dependent on her. But if a boy grows up just surrounded by women who have terrible things to say about men, what's going to happen is, it's not that he's going to hate other men. That boy is going to hate himself. And then he's going to be a people pleaser for women because he hates himself. If you hear nothing but horrible things about men your whole life, even as a little boy, you can't develop a healthy self-esteem as a man. You are going to go above and beyond to people please for women. And that's a bad situation, too. Oh, the kids in school. So they're all products of all of this stuff. And we're trying to apply surface-level fixes to stuff that's really, really, really deep. Take a break, come back. Check some YouTube comments. Oh, we got to check the YouTube poll as well. We'll do all that on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Looking for a school where scholars thrive, teachers believe, and excellence is the expectation? Milwaukee College Prep is still enrolling scholars in grades K through 8th grade for the upcoming school year. With 4 high-performing campuses, award-winning educators, and a proven track record of academic success, Milwaukee College Prep is helping more than 2,000 Milwaukee scholars build brighter futures every day. Don't wait. Limited seats are available. Apply today at MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com. That is MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com, or call 264-6000, 414-264-6000. Milwaukee College Prep, excellence by design, futures without limits. What else we got? I don't know. We got more stuff. I'll read it later. It's a multifaceted problem, and you got to be a major critical thinker to try and figure some of this stuff out. Lack of discipline, obviously, is paramount, because if the children are not getting discipline at home, if they don't understand rules and boundaries, and in certain places and certain spaces, you have to act a certain way. Oftentimes what people do is, they keep it so real that they don't know how to modify their behavior to fit the places and surroundings that they are in. If you're normally a really outspoken, really loud person and you don't hold back, great. But if you go to a quiet restaurant where the candle lights are the only light and the piano music is low, then you don't, you know what I mean? You got to act in a way that is fitting for the environment that you were in. And when it comes to young people, this is lost too. When you're around adults, these kids got to know that the adults are not your peers. There's so little respect. And if you're an adult and somebody's child is talking to you disrespectfully, like that, and I don't even blame the child necessarily. You shouldn't blame the child, because their parents allow for that. Some people should just get a dog and see how that goes, because there's some folks that can't control a dog. If I come to your house and your dog is jumping all on my lap, oh, he likes you. I don't care. No. Because I don't want your kid jumping all over me either. Start with a dog. See how that goes. And if your dog doesn't make it to the age of 2 because you forgot to feed it, then you'd be like, oh, I'd be probably a bad parent. Compare black students with white students. The contrast is especially dramatic. During the 2023-24 school year, black students represented roughly half of all enrollment, but 80% of out-of-school suspensions. White students represented roughly 9% of MPS enrollment during this period, but accounted for only about 2 to 3% of suspensions, depending on which MPS suspension measure slash report was being used. Black approximate enrollment was 50%. Share of suspensions, 78 to 80%. Hispanic, 28% of students, 15% of suspensions. White, 9% of enrollment, 2 to 3% of suspensions. The Hispanic comparison is important because it demonstrates that this is not simply a minority versus white phenomenon. Hispanic students are also a large, disproportionately low-income urban student population in MPS, yet their share of suspensions was substantially below their share of enrollment. So if we use poverty as an excuse, maybe this is a good example, because Hispanic students are poor too, but their behavior, or at least how their discipline, is dramatically different than how black students are disciplined. So why is poverty this indicator of bad black student behavior, but it's not an indicator of bad Hispanic student behavior? So you can't blame poverty. Here's what I would think on initial inspection. I would think that the most minority student, which is white student, would be the most disciplined and the most disruptive and the most unruly. Because don't we see that? If you're a minority and a hyper minority, you are judged in a way and you are scrutinized in a way that even ambiguous things that you may do and may say are judged the most harsh way. White students are the absolute unequivocal minority in MPS, yet they have less disciplinary problems than anybody else. You would think that the white students would want to fight everybody all the time because they're outnumbered. They get bullied a lot because, you know, it's not a lot of white students at a particular school. I bet you got some MPS schools with only 2 or 3, maybe 4 white students. If you're one of those 4 white students at an MPS school, your parents, you got to wonder why they have you there. Because I don't even know if that's a good experience, because there's no way you wouldn't get bullied. What is this here? The 2023-24 numbers are stark. A state commissioned instructional review of MPS examined 11,658 out-of-school suspensions during the 23-24 school year. The racial distribution was approximately black, 80% of MPS out-of-school suspensions. Hispanic, 15%. White, 2%. Asian, 2%. 2 or more races, 1%. Black students represented 49.5% of MPS enrollment, yet accounted for 80% of the out-of-school suspensions. That means black students were overrepresented in suspensions by 30.5 percentage points on average. Another way to talk about it is 1 out of every 2 MPS students is black, but 4 out of every 5 out-of-school suspensions went to black students. The disparity becomes even larger when we get to kids that were expelled. 92% of the kids expelled from MPS are black. The same review found that 92% of MPS expulsions in the 23-24 school year were issued to black students. Enrollment, 49.5% African American. Out of school suspensions, 78 to 80% African American. Expulsions, almost universally black students. So the Trump administration's got something to say about this, because clearly MPS needs to examine their policies. Why are 92% of the expulsions black students? Is there something the district is doing wrong? Are there policies and these no-tolerance policies, are they way too punitive? Do they look at race differently? Let's go ahead and just say yes. So the district started to enact, this is under Darian Driver, ladies and gentlemen, this is 10 years ago. It was noted by the Obama administration that there were major disparities in discipline in MPS, and I think that some of us knew that. And also, it's even more dangerous because when black children are suspended from school, when they're not in school, they might be out in the street. Because the mamas and the daddies are at work a lot of the times. And if the child gets, I don't even know how they handle that, because if there's no parent, or if a parent has to miss work or take off work because their child got suspended, that puts the economic future of that family in jeopardy, because now mom and daddy got to miss work. And sometimes we as black people have jobs where you can't miss a lot of days. So they wanted to change their policies, and also they had to, because under the Obama administration, under my good friend Eric Holder, a consent decree was created in which MPS was going to be much more intentional about how they train teachers, and they were going to have a different perspective and maybe do a case-by-case basis before they issued the discipline, because the disparities are as stark as you can possibly get, right? This is dated. This article came out today. Milwaukee Public Schools is under federal investigation again. So remember, they were under federal investigation because there were such stark disparities in the discipline of black children. Obama administration was like, yo, MPS, you got to change some stuff. They said, okay, we'll agree to the consent decree. And you have a certain number of years to rectify the disparity. Fast forward to today. Milwaukee Public Schools is under federal investigation again, based on allegations about how the district considers race in disciplinary practices, the U.S. Department of Education said yesterday. The department's Office of Civil Rights announced its investigation into the Milwaukee Public School System and another school district in Fayetteville, Arkansas, as it shared new guidelines against school discipline policies that aim to reduce racial disparities. MPS said, we're going to change our rules and how we discipline children because the old way of how we were doing it led to 92% of black kids getting expelled, and black children who are now less than half of the enrollment at MPS are still 80% of the suspensions. We would want them to and expect them to change their policies because those numbers are horrible. The Trump administration is saying, you can't. You can't change your policies, even though your policies led to these disparities. Looking at race and changing your policies based on race is a violation of the law. I'm going to take a break, come back, talk to Yvonne on the other side. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Are your finances low? Your mind track? Mindset off track? Or are you ready to get into real estate? Tune into The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturdays from 11 a.m. until noon on 101.7 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, and helping you take the next step toward building a better future. Lady B says, Sherwin, I thought you didn't like skinny women. Make your mind up. Skinny is derogatory. Skinny means I can see your rib cage. I don't want to see no rib cage.
Nothing wrong with that sometimes.
Yeah, no.
A little skinny woman? Like, I mean, at all.
Petite, you know? But curved.
Yeah.
I like that.
Skinny thick?
A little
slim thick?
And a little short little package. You know what I mean? She can be built like a boy.
Well, I kind of like the women that are like, you know, my range is like, you know, from 5'10 to about 5'7. That's my, I'm 6'2, 6'3. So, you know, I like the women tall.
Yvonne didn't call to hear us talk about this. She's got very important things to say. I'm sorry, Yvonne. How are you today? You're on 101.7 The Truth.
I'm okay. You know me as Ms. Bonds.
Oh, so, I sure do. Hi, Ms. Bonds. You're a retired educator of many years.
Yes. And I don't know, after seeing what happened Sunday, I guess a lot of people would say no wonder at the state fair. But you talked about the Hispanic population and them being poor and whatever. I taught at, that was my first assignment, because a lot of people might be in this country that shouldn't be. They made sure they told the line at school. I wrote one comment one time on a report card that caused the father to make his son come to school get on his knees with an apology letter to me. All I wrote was he was not living up to his potential. I had no idea it was that derogatory that that would happen. They view the maestra, the teacher, as a very important part of the family. As a matter of fact, I used to have to send two sets of work home with them because their father, mother, grandparents wanted them to teach them what they'd learned and whatever. And I can see where a lot of times, like you said, I had one student I remember. Now, this is when I left my Hispanic school, came over to the north side. And I had an eighth grader who was about 6'4". He was very tall. And it intimidated a lot of teachers, but it didn't intimidate me. I just turn around and tell them, do what everybody else is doing. Don't play with me. And he got back in line and did what he was supposed to do. I don't know if it's the way people say something that sets off some of these kids that gets them to the point where they do something suspendable, or if they do something that might not be suspendable, but they get suspended anyway. So I don't know. I've subbed since I've retired, and I still have family in the system, and we talk all the time. But yeah, it can look like it's kind of weighted, like it's not fair that this group seems to be the biggest group to be suspended. But I will say it's the way, too, that the parents and you talk with each other or have a relationship. Like I said, my parents over at the other school, if I opened my mouth, it was like the old commercial. E.F. Hutton, I think it was, when they said that, everybody was quiet. And I don't know. It's just different cultures, I guess.
All right, Ms. Bonds, appreciate your call. Mm-hmm. Right, have a good day. Milwaukee Public Schools is under federal investigation again based on allegations about how the district considers race and disciplinary practices, the U.S. Department of Education said yesterday. The department's Office of Civil Rights announced its investigations into MPS and one other American school district in Fayetteville, Arkansas, as it shared new guidelines against school discipline policies that aim to reduce racial disparities. Think about this. There are racial disparities that have been identified in Milwaukee and also in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And these districts are taking decisive action to eliminate those racial disparities. And because of a Donald Trump executive order, they can't take race into account when putting together discipline policies. So whatever policies they have in place that led to the disparities that we have got to remain, because you cannot look at race as a way to modify and change your policies. Complying with an April executive order signed by Donald Trump, the new guidelines say schools are, oh my God, they're playing in our faces. Schools are violating the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That was the one where Dr. King was standing over Lyndon Johnson's shoulder when Lyndon Johnson signed a 64 rights, Bill of Rights, or a Civil Rights Act. And then he turned, it's a real weird, awkward looking picture because President Johnson like turns over and hands that pen to Dr. King. Because you know, when presidents and governors sign bills, people that were instrumental in bringing that bill to fruition get to keep the pen. You ever see an executive sign a bill and they use like 30 different pens and they give the pens away? So there's a photograph of Dr. King receiving the pen that Lyndon Johnson used to sign the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The Trump administration is using that bill to say we cannot account for race in changing policy, because that violates civil rights. Now, think about whose civil rights that violates. I want you to think about this, too. This is why politics nowadays needs to be demystified. If black children because of whatever the reason is. I don't know. Y'all want to blame poverty? Blame poverty. Bad parents? Blame bad parents. No, blame whatever it is, okay? But if these statistics continue, and as MPS's black enrollment continues to dwindle, right now it's less than 50%. It's about 49% of MPS's enrollment is black, yet suspensions and expulsions of black children is actually going up. If black children are suspended or expelled from school, who does that benefit? Non-black kids. If your academic career is interrupted because you have to find a new school or because you are spending time out of school because this child is suspended and they're missing lessons, and if they're already behind, think about this now. And if you don't graduate, doesn't that increase the likelihood that these other students of different races have a better shot of being, say, at the top of their class? You know, some of these colleges and universities, they want the top 10%, right? You got to be in the top 10% of your class or the top 15% of your class. That's what some of these colleges want. Well, if the black student, think about this now. The black students are getting expelled and suspended to where it's interrupting and interfering with their academic progress. That gives more opportunity for those other students, multiracial students, Asian students, white students, Hispanic students, to place higher in their class. Complying with an executive order, the new guidelines say schools are violating the Civil Rights Act of 1964 if they, quote, evaluate the racial outcomes of their discipline policies and make decisions based on or because of those racial outcomes. So if MPS says, hey, let's change direction in how we discipline kids writ large, black kids in particular, the Trump administration says you can't change your policy, even though your current policy is more punitive on black kids. I need this to register with folks. If they identify the disparity, which we have, black students are expelled more, suspended more, and they, MPS, is like, oh, let's change. Got to change some things. The Trump administration says you can't because you're looking at race to influence the change in policy. That is insane to me. But here we are. The new guidance is an actual reversal of a previous stance of the Office of Civil Rights, which had long considered disparate impacts of disciplinary policies to be grounds to investigate schools for racial discrimination. MPS itself was the subject of an Office of Civil Rights investigation 10 years ago for the high number of suspensions and expulsions of black students, and the district seeking to change course and address the disparities is now a violation of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which was signed into law to mitigate and prevent and reduce discrimination against black students. This is the wildest thing ever. They're redefining the law. You know what people didn't know when they voted for him as opposed to her? This is something else that flew over people's heads. What did Kamala Harris used to do for a living? Y'all remember what Kamala used to do?
Prosecutor.
Mm-hmm. She prosecuted criminals. Donald Trump spent a good part of his adult life as a defendant, okay? And even some cases that are still ongoing right now. If I ask somebody what the president of the United States does, I don't want to put any of y'all on the spot. Who's in the producer studio? Is Zach in there? Nitty in there? Nitty's not up.
He's on the ground.
He's on the ground?
Yep, doing some work for his show.
Get that man a desk. Why on the ground? Like on the floor?
Yeah, there's a chair in here. He just, you know, he likes to.
What are you doing, yoga?
He's Caribbean, he says.
Nitty, you're a platinum-selling artist, sir. You don't live in a hut. Nitty got a bigger house. You probably got a big house.
He likes to stay grounded.
Zach, if I, that's funny. Zach, if I was to ask you, what does a president do? What, just off the top of your head, what do you?
Sign executive orders.
That's right. So that's about right.
Bet. So, yeah, right?
President is the top law enforcement officer in the country.
Yeah, the commander-in-chief.
Kamala Harris was a prosecutor. She prosecuted criminals. Okay? That's a law enforcement, like, profession. Prosecutors. Enforce the law. Donald Trump was a defendant. But now is the top law enforcement officer. The president enforces the laws passed by Congress. Let me give you an example. Because people didn't know that. They still don't know this. When you vote for president or governor or mayor or county executive, they're executing the law passed by the legislature. They are law enforcement officers. Y'all elected Donald Trump to enforce the laws that he breaks. And what is he doing? He is changing the laws to favor those that are lawless. Why do you think they want to put together the $2 billion slush fund for the people that did the January 6th? He sides with lawbreakers because we made him the top law enforcement. If you take a criminal and say, hey, criminal, make all the laws. Think about what kind of laws they're going to make. They're going to make laws for criminals. That's why he's corrupt. That's why he's trading stocks. That's why he's making billions and billions of dollars. That's why he accepted a plane from a foreign country. That plane got so many microphones and bugs in it. When you are the top law enforcement officer, you are in fact, Richard Nixon said it. He said, it's not illegal if I do it. Richard Nixon said, I am above the law. The unitary executive theory means if you're president of the United States and if you look at it critically, you enforce the law. Congress is like, hey, we have a housing discrimination problem in the country. And Congress is like, oh, what do you want to do about it? Let's pass a bill and create HUD, Housing and Urban Development, which attacks and mitigates housing discrimination. It gets rid of housing covenants, which you guys are familiar with because I read them all the time. The president then gets to pick somebody to enforce the laws created by Housing and Urban Development, which is designed to eliminate discrimination in housing. The president didn't create HUD. The president enforces the law passed by Congress because Congress realized that there was a problem that they had to fix, and it was housing discrimination. So all the president does is enforce the law. The president don't make the law. The president can sign a law, can veto a law, but they have to enforce it. And we allow the president to pick cabinet secretaries to help him do what? Enforce the law. Take a break, come back. MPS investigator for a statement about whiteness. I'm going to read that on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey for What the Business Is, powered by We Energy. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energy is a proud sponsor that helps local businesses power themselves and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energy, is delivering the energy that powers local business. So there's an interesting investigation. So this is what got MPS in trouble with the Trump administration. Somebody somewhere said, probably some liberal, that MPS is using a lens of whiteness in how it looks at black student behavior. And maybe, just maybe, that lens of whiteness is contributing to some of the suspension, expulsion, and disciplinary policies that have led to the disparities that are palpable, if not tangible. In a press release, August 18th, federal officials said they were launching an investigation. They're attacking MPS. We attack it too, though. In a press release dated August 18th, federal officials said they were launching an investigation into MPS because Milwaukee education leaders had, quote, derided facially neutral school policies as reflecting systemic whiteness. The press release says the leaders were seemingly encouraging school officials to consider race in disciplinary practices. Ladies and gentlemen, we want the district to consider race in disciplinary practices, because if they are judging the behavior of black children more harshly, don't we want to mitigate that, or at least identify that? At the very, very least, if that's racial discrimination 101. If a black child throws their books on the ground because they're frustrated, and a white child throws their books on the ground because they're frustrated, the black child might get kicked out of class because they're being disruptive, but the white child was just having a bad day. That would be an example of looking through this lens of whiteness, that white children are given the benefit of the doubt. They're allowed to be angry. They're allowed to show a range of emotion. You see, even if the range of emotion the white child shows is disruptive, we allow them that benefit. But if a black child shows emotion, they're dangerous, they're violent, and they must be removed. And that's a real, like, real-world example where white children can do all sorts of things. You ever seen how some white kids talk to their parents? I'd go to my white friends' houses growing up and sat in awe. Hi, Sherwin. Hi, we got some family coming over. We're going to have dinner. So you can come back later or come back tomorrow, but we're going to do some family time. We always love it when you come over, is what a white parent would say to me. And the kid was like, sure was not freaking going anywhere, woman. Sure, when you're staying here, dude. We're hanging out. We're playing Atari 2600 until I say so. And then I look at the mama like, well, who overrules here? Who overrules who? My mother wouldn't even tell. She wouldn't even be polite when it was time for my friends to go home. She'd be like, y'all get out of here now. Y'all going on. You know what? And she'd just stand by the door until everybody got up and left. Asked what they were referring to, a spokesperson for the Department of Education told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel they don't comment on open investigations. MPS officials said they received a notice from the Department of Education on August 18th yesterday, stating it would be investigating whether MPS was using, quote, race as a factor when considering disciplinary action against students. MPS officials said they had no further information about what prompted that investigation. So they're trying to change the discipline policies so it's more fair to black kids. And the Trump said, no, continue to be unfair to black kids. MPS caught national attention in 2024 for a memo that appeared to share ways to reduce racially disproportionality in disciplinary practices, including examining practices that came from a, quote, lens of whiteness. The memo had reportedly been shared with a campus bias tip line of Young America's Foundation, a conservative youth organization led by former Governor, Scott Walker. It's not clear from the Department of Education's press release whether the Office of Civil Rights Regulation investigation stems from a complaint filed by Scott Walker. While many OCR investigations are direct responses to complaints, the office can also launch its own compliance review. Scott Walker's got his fingerprints all over this. Can launch its own compliance reviews, which can be based on information in media and other sources. When the Office of Civil Rights Regulation opened an investigation into the Green Bay School District in May of 2025, it was following a complaint filed by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty law firm. A spokesperson for the law firm said Will, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, didn't file a complaint in the MPS case, but the firm issued a statement celebrating the MPS investigation. The OCR means Office of Civil Rights. I said Office of Civil Rights Regulation. Office of Civil Rights. The Office of Civil Rights investigation could include reviewing records, conducting interviews, and making site visits to MPS schools. If officials find MPS violated civil rights law, they will seek to negotiate a resolution agreement under which MPS would commit two steps to address the violations. Keep in mind, the violations are MPS wanting to change its policies so they are less racially discriminatory against black students. The Trump administration says you can't change your policies to be less racially discriminatory. You have to leave them as they are. I feel like I need to do a Hughes Views 414 podcast tonight on YouTube. I haven't done one in a while. I've been living life.
Yeah, I'll come in and check up on you.
Thanks. Maybe, I don't know. It depends on how I feel. Doing two shows.
You're not that hard today, are you?
I don't know. Doing two shows a day is a lot. With all that I'm talking about, where's Lady B's question? She asked me if I like 6 feet tall women.
Is she 6 foot tall?
Probably. When we playing pickup basketball, I don't want a woman that can dunk on me. I don't need no, what if you're wearing heels? You're going to make me look like Kevin Hart standing next to Brittany Griner. I got to go now. Lunch break is up next.